Isn't it exciting when you know God's in the room? Yeah? I think I'm excited about this morning, if I'm really honest. And slightly daunted as well, because I've never done a sort of Vision Sunday. I've always left that to Sean, because he's much more sensible than me. And so I've been I've actually been quite touched by doing this, because actually I've realised quite what Sean has had to put into sort of putting vision together. So one of the challenges of a Vision Sunday is that you're not only speaking to the people in the room, but hopefully I'm speaking to the people who will be in the room. Because actually over this year, we want to get people caught up into the vision that we have as a church. And so these empty seats, we want to be filled. Amen. And we want the people who are filling them to hear the vision and feel that they can fill up even more seats. It's going to become a little bit of a problem because we're running out of seats. But that's a good problem to have, isn't it? So that's quite exciting. So I think, are we all plugged in, ready to go, chaps at the back? We're all recorded? Good to go. Excellent. Right. Well, then I will begin as people are coming back from dropping their children off. Now, I'm going to apologize up front, because this is going to appear like it's red more than I would perhaps normally do so. But that in part is because I'm articulating it not only to you guys here in the room, but as I said, to hopefully people who will join us. It's going to be recorded. It's going to be on our website, and I'm hoping that the transcript to this will also be on the website. So I'm going to make it as natural as I possibly can. But if I stick to the script, there is a reason why I'm sticking to the script. But I sense a favour in God in doing that. So we'll go with that. Is that all right? Okay, excellent. So this morning is the first of two Vision Sundays for Jubilee Church. Next week, as we gather for a joint service, Sean, our senior pastor, will be addressing the whole church, sharing the direction God is taking us all over the next year. Jubilee is one church in three locations, Farnham, Borden, and Aldershot. This week, the site pastors are sharing how God is shaping us to be a church in our local context. If you have been with us over the last 2 weeks, you will know that we've been teeing up a vision of Jubilee Church in Aldershot being a Christian community that brings hope to this town that we love. Before we look forward, let's spend a brief moment looking back to where we've come from, just to kind of catch us all up. We're going to watch a short video.
And I'm the site pastor here at Jubilee Church in Aldershot. My own story is that I have been part of Jubilee Church in Farnham for about 10 years. And for the last 5 years, I've been an elder and the associate pastor there. Over those last 5 years, we've felt that as a church, God has called us to help bring an impact to our local communities, not just in Farnham, but also to the surrounding areas. So 3 years ago, a small team from Jubilee Church in Farnham went to Borden and began our first multi-site. I then went on sabbatical about 2 years ago and really felt the call of God to actually start leading a site of my own. And so as a church, we did some work with many of our families in the church who were actually living in Aldershot. And we felt that actually it was right to move to Aldershot. And so my wife and I in January led a team of nearly 50 adults, children and teenagers here to Aldershot to come and lead Jubilee Church. So as a church, we meet at a local primary school, and it's a great informal family orientated service where we're beginning to see local people come and join us.
That was my brief appearance at West Point. And there's a story that goes with the video, but I'll tell that in another time. From the offset, Amber and I, and those who have come to start the site here in Aldershot, have felt the real call of God to be here. From January 2016, when the idea of starting Jubilee Church in Aldershot was first announced, Amber and I have been supported by an amazing team of people who have prayed with us, laughed with us, planned with us, and worked with us. We named these people the Aldershot Adventurers and asked a few to work closer with us as a startup team to help us hear God and bring shape to what we were doing. Perhaps one of the most exciting things for us that as we tentatively stepped out, many of you were already waiting here to help us build the church. And even now, 9 months later, God is still sending wonderful, creative, prayerful, practical builders to join us. When I teach in schools about church, I often have to remind students that church is not a building. God has shown us his favor by planting us here in the Wellington School. And we're so grateful to David, the head teacher, Victoria, the business manager, and Wendy, the caretaker, for being so wonderful and welcoming and helpful as we've gathered. But we together and our friends who can't make it today are the church. Adventurers and builders have now become church. A plus B equals C. We're no longer starting up. So the startup team has now become the leadership team, to whom I'm so grateful for the time they have given to serve us all. And the challenge before us is, what are we going to do as church together? In the video, I spoke about a real sense that we want to have an impact on Aldershot. But what does that look like? Before I answer that question, firstly, I'd like to explore what we feel God is calling us to, and then we'll look at how we might see that happen. Over the summer, we looked at how God loves to meet us face to face. You remember, I hope, the story of Moses, who would go into the tent of meeting where the presence of God rested, and he would meet with God face to face as a friend. This is an important truth for us because it reminds us that God loves to be with us as friends. And that has been made possible by his son, Jesus. You see, central to our understanding is that God so loves the world, but the world rejected him. And in many cases, still does. That rejection leads to all sorts of problems because it causes people to act and think in ways that are just not the ways God would want us to act or think. People become selfish and act in their own interests. And so there becomes a barrier between us and God, who is perfectly good and totally fair. And that barrier is called sin. Sin practically stops people from meeting with God face to face. But it doesn't stop God's desire to meet with people face to face as with a friend. The Bible says that there is a penalty for sin, which is death. But Jesus, God's Son, willingly volunteers to pay the penalty on behalf of humanity to remove the barrier. The Christian belief is that Jesus, innocent of all charges, was put to death on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago, where all the sin of the world was placed upon him. He paid the price of our sin and died. As he breathed his last, the Bible records that the temple curtain that separated the people from God was torn in two as a demonstration that the barrier of sin had been dismantled. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead as final proof that sin no longer was a barrier to those who understand and believe what he has done for them. Consequently, the world is no longer the same from that point onward. One of the great changes was the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In his coming, the Holy Spirit of God instigates the church by empowering ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things. So we read of miraculous healings, words of knowledge given, and transformation of lives that all becomes marks of the church as it starts in history. Now, this story we call the gospel. Gospel means good news, and it is so called because everyone can now meet face to face with God through faith in Jesus. It also encourages us that the church still has the power of God because of the Holy Spirit to make a difference and change lives. The American pastor Bill Hybels famously wrote, "There is nothing like the local church when the local church is working right. It's the hope of the world." I began in the video saying that I felt sent here by God to Aldershot to start a church and to join other churches and their leaders because we all have a conviction that when the local church is working right, it is the hope of the world. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about our Who Cares mission that we did in partnership with these other churches in the town. In a simple one-question questionnaire that asked the people of Aldershot what hurts the most, the strongest response was a lack of hope. This played out personally within people's hearts and relationally in terms of friends, family and community. For me, it was like the dip test I used to check the chemical levels in a swimming pool. The dip test in the town around us revealed the very real need for hope. Over 2,500 years ago, the Bible records a rare encounter between a man and God. The problem of sin was just as potent then as it is now, and so there were very few encounters like this, and all of them were because God instigated them. The man was called Isaiah, and he was a prophet. His job was to bring the wisdom and words of God to the king of Israel and his people. Those words were to bring hope in perhaps one of the darkest chapters of the story of God's people. Isaiah was born in a time when the people of God had largely gone their own way and forgotten that they were called to be display people. People who displayed how good and full life could be if you followed God. The people of Israel were called to be a light to the nations. That was and still is the calling of the people of God. So God encountered Isaiah, his prophet, who was to bring the wisdom and the word of God to others. Bethan's just going to come and read that encounter now.
Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, Here am I, send me.
Thank you. Jesus comes first, always. Isaiah was given a message of hope as the people of God were taken from their land and exiled into Babylon. That message centered on a character called the servant of the Lord. Isaiah's message of hope was that the exile would be over and Israel would be restored to their original purpose of being a light to the nations once more because of the actions of the faithful servant. The servant of the Lord character was in fact a prophecy of the life and actions of Jesus. Unknown then, but revealed now, he is the object of that hope. This is why Jesus comes first. He is the one who makes it possible to know God face to face as a friend and equips us for the purpose of being a light to the nations. Because of this good news, we want to prioritize praying to him, worshiping him, and knowing him in our personal lives and in community. He is our best hope. He comes first, always. When we first started to pray into what Jubilee in Aldershot would be like, we repeatedly had two visions given to us. The first was the rebuilding of walls and the reopening of wells. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, these are pictures of restoration. Nehemiah builds walls to restore the city of Jerusalem back to what it was meant to be, the city of God and his people, the place where the people could once more be a light to the nations. Additionally, in the Old Testament, the reopening of wells, bringing refreshment to the people, are images of how God wants to refresh his people. It's an image that is still true today. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is often referred to as water. And Jesus describes the Spirit as refreshment that satisfies every spiritual thirst. It would seem clear to me that God is calling us to be a church that works right. Now let me say from the offset, this is not a comment on other churches. This is not me saying we have got it right and the others have not. What God is looking for is us to make Jubilee Church Aldershot work right. Church may not have worked right for you in your journey of faith. And we will need your input because we're all the church. And we want to learn from the experience mistakes make. And we'll not get it right every time. And I promise you, that will happen quite a lot. However, we are resolved to make every effort to make JCA, Jubilee Church Aldershot, work as well as we can. Because we hear God's call on us to do so. Because we are a community that when working right, we become light to the nations and we release the power of God into the lives of people. We become the hope of the world. So that brings us to what we're going to do. We're resolved to be the best church that we can be. But what does that look like? Well, firstly, church is people. And they are our priority. As the elders have been praying, we felt God encourage us to double in size across all three sites. Now, numbers are sometimes unhelpful, but in my video, I spoke of beginning with 50 adults, teenagers, and young people and children. So, for a start, wouldn't it be great to get to 100 and see the faithfulness of God work amongst us? Now, that would be worth celebrating, wouldn't it? So that's just our first marker. It's not where we're going to end. It's just our first marker. I love the way we welcome people. And I'm so grateful to Amber and to Joe and to the welcoming and hospitality teams that meet us with a friendly smile every Sunday. There's a sense of care created right from the first step into the building. So much goes into making Sunday happen. And we want our Sundays to be excellent. I'm so grateful to Cheryl, who keeps us organized with the rotas and helps us so faithfully with family services and with our children. We want great worship in church. And Pete Hewlett is working to develop our worship across all the sites. But I'm very grateful to Becky for developing our worship team here in Aldershot. And to the guys who come and visit and help us out. Just so grateful. Thank you to all of you who play and lead. For our teenagers who are learning the art of worship, and for Kenny and the PA teams, all of whom serve us so well. We also want excellent children's and youth work. And again, I'm grateful for the teams of people who serve us in that way and produce outstanding work amongst our children and teenagers. One investment this year is our appointing of Ruth as our youth and children's worker as part of her placement as she studies for a theology degree. I believe this will be a catalyst for us having a real impact in the town amongst under-18s. One of our hopes is that we can put together a holiday Bible club here at the school at Easter based on some of the kids' club material that we have historically used in Farnham. In addition, we want to know God better through teaching the Bible. I'm grateful to our preachers and teachers who join me on a Sunday, be they family services or otherwise. We want to be open to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue to make space for God to change us and impact our lives as we follow our sermon series. But it's not all about Sundays. They showcase who we are and are important times for us to gather. But the Christian faith is lived 24/7. It's a 24/7 adventure that impacts and affects the entirety of our lives. We have three small groups that are pretty busy, and they help us and encourage those who go to them to keep growing in their faith. That's why we call them growth groups. We would love to see more growth groups spring up as we grow as a church. I have faith for at least two more to be formed before next September, as they are the best environments to connect with others and to build friendship. Now, God has spoken to me about babies over this season. We have three baby stories these last few months And I felt God say to us that these three baby stories reflect something of the story of this church that he is building. First, we have Zeke, who's our miracle baby. And I feel challenged that we can expect the unexpected and see the impossible because God's hand is with us. Let this be an encouragement for you to pray for even the person you feel is furthest from knowing God. Miracles happen. Secondly, we have Ben, whose parents, Nehemiah and Clements, are from Rwanda. And we can expect the nations to be gathered to us. I must confess, we've not been brilliant with this. And we need to do more to make Jubilee a welcoming place for anyone from any nation. Even if their English is very poor or their culture very different from our own. As a church, we need to find ways to make Jubilee accessible to all. Finally, we have Elizabeth and Alex's expected baby, who will know such love and grace when he or she arrives, because family is more than just blood, especially when times get difficult. The African adage, it takes a village to bring up a child, is to be an important bit of wisdom for us. Families come to us in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and no matter what the shape or the size or the makeup of the family, we want to be that village that all can be brought up to know God. And how will people join us? Well, I'm hoping you'll invite them. Some will come because they hear of us through word of mouth or through the website. However, we want the good news to reach those who have not heard it yet. Our main tool for this is Alpha. We're investing in Alpha because we see it as the best way for people to explore Christianity and get to see who we are as well. We've started our first Alpha and we hope to keep doing them termly because it's the best way to help people find out about Jesus. And when people know about Jesus, we want to help them to know him better. We call this discipleship. And some of us are working on how we can mentor and disciple those who come together. So you come to us. On Amber and my heart is that each of us would know that we would have someone who would help us grow and someone we could go to who would help us grow as well. In all of this, people are our priority. So we're going to rebuild the walls and we're going to reopen the wells. The other recurring vision is that of a beacon that uses the light generated by the fire to bring hope. Saviwe is the pastor of Kanisha Church in the township of Guguletu in Cape Town, South Africa. We're sending a team of teenagers and others to go and serve there in October. But we had the privilege of him speaking to us this year. Saviwe preached to us on Jeremiah 29. And rather than focus on the familiar part of the passage, he drew us to the earlier part. It goes like this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. He reminded us that although we're not in exile here, there are principles that we need to follow. Our call as a church is to seek the peace and prosperity of Aldershot. Firstly in prayer, and then as display people. Because as we do, there is a further familiar promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Let me remind you again of Bill Hybels' words. There is nothing like the local church when the local church is working right. It is the hope of the world. We want to work in partnership with other churches in Aldershot to bring that hope, because our own investigation has shown us that the people of Aldershot need hope. It's not a hope in us or the church, it's hope in Jesus. He is the one who the good news is about. He is the one who changes lives. He is the one who heals the broken body and the broken heart. He is the one who embodies hope. If we are to be beacons, It's so we display him. Why? Because biblical hope is not like earthly hope. It's not a case of crossing our fingers and wishing for something to happen, but it's looking away from the possibilities of man and looking to the promises of God. In Jesus, we find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. In Jesus, we find real hope. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing, Scripture tells us. We want to be blessed so that we might be a blessing to others. We love being part of Aldershot churches together and will always seek to work well with other churches in a spirit of unity. So, we want to join the churches at Christmas, bringing the message of good news to all men. We also want to work with the churches on Victoria Day because we see a very real need to build community. We want to explore how we might be a blessing with the to those with those connections that we have in our hand. The Source, Karuna Coffee, Through the Gates, Food Bank, Step by Step, and others. We want to work as best we can with the military community as well. A community that we know is here, but is often hidden. So what's our vision for Jubilee Church Aldershot? Well, we've just started. But I think we have an ambitious vision to bring hope to the town. Firstly, we put Jesus first, always. Secondly, we're rebuilding the walls and reopening the wells to build a church where people are our priority. And thirdly, we're becoming beacons of hope that seek the peace and prosperity of Aldershot. We have a vision to be display people of God, and we want to come alongside others. As we lead, we will be honest. Sorry, as I lead, as we, Amber and I lead, we will be honest and open with you. But at times we'll make mistakes. But we're confident that we will be met here with grace and forgiveness. Because when the local church is working right, it is the hope of the world. Yeah. So what part can I play? Come and join in. That's the invitation. There are three markers for joining in which we want to encourage you towards. Firstly, come and join us regularly on a Sunday and be part of our growth groups. There is a little illustration of a lump of coal that stays hot and produces heat when it's within the fire. However, if you take a pair of tongs and pull the coal out, it will cool off very quickly and lose its ability to produce heat. Can I encourage you to come and get involved? The Christian faith is 24/7. It impacts the whole of our life, work, family and friends, and it's meant to be lived together. One writer described the Christian faith as pursuing Christ in the company of friends. On any update that you see, you can find who to contact if you want to join a group, or just talk to Amber or myself. But can I encourage you? Come and join in. Secondly, come and serve. The church only really functions because committed people make it happen. If you feel inspired by our vision, come and be part of the body that's making it happen. Please never feel that you don't have anything to offer. There are always things to do. Some jobs require certain skills, but a lot of them can be taught. The most important asset you can bring is a heart willing to serve others. Can I encourage you? Come and join in. Finally, can I talk money? Money can feel an awkward subject in churches, so I'll be brief and honest with you. As a church, all the activities that go on across all three sites are paid for by members of Jubilee who give generously from their income. The money is often paid by direct debit, but sometimes it's also paid via the bag that goes round during worship. This money pays for staff and resources so we can make all the things that we've talked about happen. There are no grants or funds that we draw upon. One of the benefits of being one church in three locations is that Jubilee Aldershot began and continues to operate thanks to the generosity of Jubilee Farnham. To make this vision happen, we need to see a generosity like that in Farnham outpour here in Aldershot. Now, my experience is that God will always bless you with more than you can give. I really don't understand it. But if you want, come and ask me about my cars. Since we began Jubilee Aldershot, about 12 families have given between 5 and 10% of our incomes to the church. A few more have joined us, and our income has increased, but we still be heavily reliant on the generosity of Farnham as we pursue this vision. So here's the ask. I believe God's hand is upon us, and if you feel that Jubilee Aldershot is your spiritual home, and you feel caught up in our vision of bringing hope to Aldershot, would you review your giving? I believe these are the first important steps for us, but God has much more, and that means more resources need to be released. Perhaps if you're not currently giving, you would join us in this adventure of generosity and start giving money. Many people want a guideline, so can I suggest somewhere between 5 and 10%? That seems to be the norm. Can I encourage you that when you start to give, you will be so glad you did? I promise you, God's economy does not work like ours. If you're giving a little, thank you. But can I ask if now is the time to flex the faith muscle and exercise the generosity? If you're a taxpayer, we can also claim back some money through gift aid and make 25p in every pound given. Please pray, and please know that you can stop at any point. Personally, I don't know who gives what, other than Amber and myself, obviously. But I do know how much in total is given. If we're to see this vision happen and enjoy all that God has for us as a church, we need resources. Please join us. And if you want to talk about your giving to the church, please see Cheryl, who will give you the forms you need. Thank you. For now, let's just take the first step. We're starting this exciting journey of faith as hope bringers. But like Isaiah, there's a question that needs to be answered. Walls and wells are being rebuilt, and beacons have been lit. But who will answer the call? Let's finish with this video. I found this slide when I was researching it. Because I thought, how do you articulate what hope feels like? That's what hope feels like. Would you stand for me? Anthony, come on. In a minute, would you mind just reading that over us? Is that all right? From there to there. In a minute, I'm going to ask Anthony just to read a passage from Isaiah. By way of it being a commissioning of us as a church as we go forward. I perhaps didn't articulate how excited I am because I had to read it. So let me tell you that I am just so excited by what God has got for us as a church. You know, I just look here a year ago. There are so many new faces that I've got to know and to love, and it's so great that together we're going to see God do some exciting things. We were praying in the back a moment ago, before the service started, and I was reminded that, you know, you need fire to light the beacon. It'd be no good just throwing the oil on the beacon. That doesn't do it. Yeah, so we can get all enthusiastic and we can get excited, and that's like throwing the oil on the beacon. Yeah, but actually the reality is we need the fire, and that comes from God. Yeah, so I'm going to pray that God's Spirit comes, and I'm going to ask Anthony to come and just read something from Isaiah. By way of commissioning us as a church, I want you to hear these words as we go forward. Is that okay? I'll pray first, then ask Anthony to read. So let's just settle ourselves. Lord, I want to thank you that you've put within our hearts a hope. A hope for a glorious future with your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are our first and best hope. And we want to share you as best we can with our friends, family, colleagues, people that we meet. Lord, we want this church to be a place that brings hope. But we don't hype that up. We ask for your Spirit to come down. And Lord, we remember Elijah on the mountain, prayed for your fire to come down. And so, Lord, we ask that. Yes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Ignite the oil that lights the beacon, that brings the light, that displays the glory and hope of Jesus. Come.
If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairers of broken walls and restorers of streets with dwellings.
Amen. Lord, that is our hope for this town. Lord, we just come again. We want to join in with your mission. It's your desire to extend your kingdom. Help us, equip us, resource us, encourage us, challenge us. But may we be beacons of hope to this town. May we see many people come and be restored. May we see your wells opened. Holy Spirit, flood out, restore your town and your city here. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. And all of God's people said, Amen. 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 Bless you. There is only one way you can respond to this. We're going to do that in worship because we're going to put Jesus first. And so I'm going to ask the band to come up. They're going to lead us in song. And then once we've done that, we shall go and grab our children and enjoy one another's company. Oh,
his shirt.
Yeah.
We're all part of the same team.
Yeah.
We all have the same goal. We're all part of the same nation.
Yeah. Amen.
No matter which side we're on, we're always part of the same team.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. Thank you. Hope doesn't look at the possibilities of man, but looks to the promises of God. Here's some promises. If you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the need of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and the night will become like the noonday. Another promise, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered gardens, like a spring whose waters never fail. You will be called repairers of broken walls. Lord, we put you first. Lord, we want to build good walls. We want to open the well. Lord, bring people to us who struggle, like us, that we might share with them the good news of Jesus, who restores all, who is the living stone amongst whom all the other stones are lined up against, the cornerstone. Lord, you bring the restoration. You reopen the well. Lord, come, Spirit, bring your restoration, your refreshment to us. And finally, Lord, may we be beacons, living beacons, bringing your light. May we display the glory of God, the hope of Jesus to this town. Fling wide those gates, Lord. Fling wide those gates. Equip us, use us for your glory. Amen.